Turn to Psalm 4. Psalm 4. Let's read this psalm together. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing or lying? Selah. But no. I love the way he says that. But no. This is something that needs to be known. That the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time their corn and their wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only at this time of vulnerability, sleep, thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Let's pray. Lord, how we desire your presence, how we desire your blessing upon your word. For truly we're aware that if we don't have your spirit and your blessing and your favor toward us, we meet in vain. We pray that your gospel would be preached in the power of your Holy Spirit and that you'd give us hearing ears, receptive hearts. Lord, we pray for the forgiveness of all of our many sins. How we thank you for the blessing of the forgiveness of sins through the blood of thy blessed Son. Lord, we pray that you'd be with our friends that aren't here, that you'd keep them by your grace. Be with all your people wherever they meet together and accept our thanksgiving through thy Son. In his name we pray. Amen. Now, remember, these titles are inspired. They're part of the inspired word, and he calls this to the chief musician a neganoth, a psalm of David. Now this word neganoth, I didn't know this before the preparation of this message, it means a taunt psalm. A taunt psalm. He's actually taunting. And you can see in some of these verses where this taunting is in fact taking place. Look in verse 2. O ye sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? That's a taunt. Look in verse 3. But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. That's a taunt. Verse 6. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. That could be considered a taunt. And this is called the taunt psalm. Now, remember these verses in two respects. Number one, these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every psalm, whenever you read a psalm, read it like that first. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And these are the words of David. David is telling us what he felt, what he experienced. But look at these words together. Verse 1, hear when I call, O God of my righteousness. Now, we can see where these are the words of the Lord Jesus, and he's speaking of his Father as the God of his righteousness. Now, that's the word of a believer, too. When we say, hear me, O God of my righteousness, we're saying my righteousness comes from him. It's his righteousness. But you can see these as the words of the Lord. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. And I think that's a reference to the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was in distress and the Lord sent angels. Who knows? But we couldn't possibly understand the distress he was under at that time of being made sin and being forsaken by his Father. But he says, Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? And you remember the way the people were mocking him at the cross? And that's what this is a reference to. How long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing? But know, verse 3, but know this, that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly. Who is him that is godly? That's the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? Know this, the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Verse 4, stand in awe. And the Lord Jesus was in awe of his Father like no one else. We feel awe toward him without question, but oh, he feared his Father in a holy fear. Stand in awe. How he worshiped his Father, how his Father worshiped him. Stand in awe and sin not. Who does that refer to but the Lord Jesus Christ in his sinlessness? Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Remember, I'm looking at these briefly as the words of the Lord. Then we're going to go back to David. But he says, offer the sacrifices of righteousness. Who did that but the Lord when he offered himself? And put your trust in the Lord. Who ever trusted God like he did? You and I, as soon as something goes wrong, we're all questioning everything. Not him. When he was in utter darkness, he trusted his Father completely. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. That's all we want, is the light of his countenance. If we have his countenance, if we have his favor, if we have him looking in favor upon us, what else is needed? Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than the time their corn and their wine increased. The earthling has gladness just from the increase of things. He said, this gladness is infinitely better than that. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. And I think this is the Lord talking about his time in the tomb. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety. We can see these so clearly as the words of our Redeemer. But let's look at them also as the words of David, because they are, hear me when I call. Now, I don't want to just go through the motions of prayer. You know, a lot of folks, I've had my devotions. I've gone through the act of prayer, and I can feel, you know, I've done my duty. David didn't even think of anything like that. He said, hear me. That's what I want. I want to be heard. Hear me, O God of my righteousness. Now, Paul, Daniel's in here anywhere. There he is. He pointed out, he read this psalm in the study, and he said, I'd never really thought of that phrase before, O God of my righteousness. And isn't that who Jesus Christ is to us? He's the God of our righteousness. Our righteousness is his righteousness. But I love the way he calls it, O God of my righteousness. The righteousness of Jesus Christ. This is where my confidence to come before the Father is. The righteousness of Jesus Christ, his perfect law keeping, his perfect obedience, is my personal righteousness before God. Now what confidence there is in that. To have his righteousness as my personal righteousness. Just as my sin became his sin on the cross. That's why he was forsaken. That's why he went through that darkness. My sin became his. He put it away. And his personal righteousness is my righteousness before God. Hear me, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. Now he said, you've had mercy upon me in the past. I've been in distress and you showed me your favor. You showed me your mercy. I'm asking for it again. I need the same thing now that I did then. And he's asking for it in that sense. Have mercy upon me. Now, you know when you need mercy? When you're guilty. You're not a victim. Your sin is all your fault. And there's one thing you need. Mercy. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. Verse 2. O sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? Now what's David's glory? Christ. How long are you going to try to make that a shameful thing? That's my glory. He says, how long will you love vanity and seek after lies or leasing? Now that's human religion. Vanity and lies. Amen? Vanity. No saving power. No truth. Nothing but lies. Now that's how he describes human religion. And he says, how long are you going to love that? You know somebody that doesn't love the gospel? I know the only reason we love the gospel is because of the grace of God. It's because he made us to differ. We realize that, don't we? But somebody doesn't love the gospel, they love salvation by works, it's crazy. It's crazy. There's no salvation in it. There's no hope in it. And that's why David says, how long are you going to love that? But look what he says in verse 3. But know, I love this. Know this. Be assured of this. There's no doubt about this. Know this. The Lord Jehovah hath set apart him that is godly for himself. Now here's something I want you to know, David said. I want you to be clear on this. I want you to understand this. Know this. The Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. Now take those words. The Lord hath set apart. Now that word set apart, same word used in Exodus chapter 11 when God said to Moses against any of the children of Israel, shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast, so that you may know that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. Same word. The Lord put a difference. Now, this is what Charles Spurgeon called, and listen to this word, this will get our attention, discriminating grace. Now, that's a word that will get our attention because discrimination in human affairs is evil. But the only reason you're saved is because God made a difference. He made a difference in eternal election when he chose you before time began. He made a difference on the cross when he died for your sins and put them away. He made a difference in regeneration when he birthed you into the kingdom and gave you life. Know this. Be assured of this. That the Lord has set apart him that is godly. Now who is godly? Everybody that God has saved. You know, a religious usually, he's a godly man. You know, I get uncomfortable with the way religious people use the term in the sense that he's really, he's a lot like God. You know, he's so holy, he's so righteous,
Him that is godly is him that has been born of God and given a godly nature, a holy nature. The scripture says, partakers of the divine nature. Now know this, the Lord made him that way. The Lord set apart him that is godly for himself. If the Lord has saved you, he saved you for himself. You belong to him. He's yours, and you are his. I am my beloved's, and he is mine. The Lord made us to differ. Now, he that is godly is a description, like I said, of all in Christ. And they're for him. They were created for him. By him were all things created. All things were created by him and for him. You see, the glory of Christ is the reason behind everything. And the reason God saved you, the reason Christ died for you, the reason God the Holy Spirit gave you a new nature and made you godly is for himself. It was not a response to you. It was not a response to something you've done that made him move toward you. He did it for himself, for his own glory. And there's such comfort there. There's such joy there. Everything the Lord looks to me for, he looks to his son for. And what joy and peace there is in that. And because of that, the Lord will hear when I call unto him. He's going to hear because of the intercession of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in verses 4 and 5, he gives us five things to do. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed. Be still. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. Now the first thing he says to do, and this is worship, stand in awe. There's nothing flippant about this. There's nothing casual about this. You know, when people talk about casual worship, I think, since when is the worship of God casual? Stand in awe and sin not. Now, we ought not ever sin. But what he's talking about is to fail to stand in awe of him is sin. Stand in awe, tremble in his presence, and to fail to do so is sin. Now you think about his person. When he says stand in awe, you think of his sovereignty. Just his sovereignty. That's just God being God, is all sovereign means. That means he controls everybody and everything. I love thinking about that, and I'm in awe of that. Right now, the thoughts that are going through your mind, you're thinking them. You're doing so freely. They're the things you're thinking. But he's in complete control over them. That's how vast his sovereignty is. He controls everything. Anything short of that's not God. He's absolutely sovereign. He's the cause. He's the first cause of all things. And there's nothing that happens without him. He is sovereign. That's who he is. Stand in awe at his holiness. Moses said, who is like unto thee glorious in holiness? Only thou art holy. What that means more than anything else is he's just not like me and you. Aren't you glad? He's not like me and you. He's other. He's altogether who is like unto me. He's utterly holy. No one like him. Stand in awe of his power. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Stand in awe of his wisdom. He's all wise. He's made a way. His wisdom has demonstrated that he's made a way to be absolutely just and yet justify somebody as sinful as me. Now, that's wise. Stand in awe of his omnipresence. You can't go anywhere where he's not. Stand in awe of his absolute justice. Stand in awe of his mercy, of his grace, of his loving kindness. Stand in awe of his independence. He has no needs. I hate it when preachers present God needing something from you. He doesn't need anything from you. He's God over all, blessed forever. I stand in awe of his immutability. He can't change. Stand in awe at the glory of his person. Aren't you amazed that he made himself known to you? You know, there are so many people who could care less about him, and yet he's made himself known to you. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed. You know what that means? That means be alone with him. Be alone with him. Now, I can't express the importance of public worship. The Lord said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Public worship is so important. And somebody that doesn't care about public worship, they can talk about private worship, but they don't worship privately. Somebody that doesn't worship publicly, their private worship is a sham. But understand this, worship, you commune with your own heart alone on your bed. Kind of like David said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? He's communing with his own heart on his bed, isn't he? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the light of his countenance. Singing and making melody in your hearts unto the Lord. Now, there is, I don't know how else to put it, and it's through Christ. This is not frivolous. This is not presumptuous. But through Christ, every believer actually has a relationship with the living God, where he knows me. And when I speak of him, I'm not dropping names. You've been around people who drop names to try to impress you. Well, when I speak of him, I'm not dropping names. He really knows me, and I know him. Commune with your own heart upon your bed. And look what he says next. Be still. You know, somebody says, we had a real worship service. Everybody's waving their hands and making noise and rolling all over the place. We had a worship service. No. Be still. Be broken. Cease. That's what the word means. Be crushed. Be still. Don't be moving around. Don't be popping off. Don't be saying, well, here's what I think that means. Be still. Be still. Be still, he said in another place. Be still and know that I am the Lord. Well, when you... You can be still then, don't you? Can't you? Yeah. No, I am the Lord. And then he says in verse 5, offer the sacrifices of righteousness. Now, does that mean I'm going to come into the Lord and say, you know, here's my gift. Here's one sacrifice of righteousness, and here's my Bible study, and here's my prayers, and here's my witnessing, and here's my fight against sin. I'm going to offer those sacrifices. There's only one sacrifice of righteousness. You look to the sacrifice of Christ as your only righteousness before God. And you never graduate past that. That never gets old. That never gets, well, that's what I did when I first came to Christ. That's the way you always come. In the righteousness and merits of Jesus Christ, you offer the sacrifice of righteousness. And put your trust, here's the fifth thing he gives, put your trust in the Lord. Now all my hope, all my trust is in him. Now what does that mean? That means everything God requires of me, he looks to his son for. All my hope, all my trust is in him. It's not in me, it's not in my faith, it's in his faithfulness. It's in him. Put your trust in the Lord. Verse 6. There be many that say, Who will show us any good? What good is there?
I mean, look at this place. It's a mess. Look at the world as we know it. It's a mess. Who's going to show us any good?
Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. That's good. That's good.
Content with beholding his face, my all to his pleasure resigned.
No changes of season or place could make any change in my mind. When blessed with a sense of his love, a palace, a toy would appear. And prisons would palaces prove if Jesus would dwell with me there. Amen. Lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Now look what he says in verse 7. Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time their corn and their wine increased. The joy and peace of believing is infinitely greater than anything this world has to offer. I don't care how much your wine and corn increases. Having his favor, knowing you're accepted in the beloved, hearing the gospel and the power of the Spirit, knowing you believe, that's better than anything this world has to offer. You've put this gladness in my heart. Now, every believer knows that. Any gladness, true gladness that's in my heart, you put it there. It didn't come from me. It didn't come from the flesh. You put it there. Now, David says in verse 8, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety. Now, when I have had a hard time going to sleep, that verse has always troubled me, because I thought, seems like if I was like David, I'd just go to sleep, you know, with this confidence in the Lord. Well, he says, I'll both lay me down in peace and sleep. For let's talk about the peace first. What is peace? The peace of justification is what that's talking about. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Now, what that means is, when God sees me, he sees someone that's never sinned. That's justification. Will any of my sins be brought up on judgment day? What sins? Ain't none. You don't have any. What about it's gone? Now that's peace. The peace of justification. And so when he's talking about I'll lay me down in peace and sleep, sleep is talking about when are you most vulnerable? When you're asleep. When you're asleep, you can't you can't protect yourself. You're in this vulnerable state when you are asleep. You're just. But what does he say about this vulnerable state? Now, this is not talking about how every believer ought to be able to get 8 solid hours of sleep. I wish we all could. Some people have such trouble sleeping, and but that's not really the point as to how long and how sound you sleep, and if you got the proper, what's good sleep? I can't remember. REMs. Yeah, REMs. That's not talking about anything like that. What's he say? I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety. You alone, Jesus only, makes us to dwell in safety. Now, how safe is grace? I thought that's a good question, isn't it? How safe is his grace? Well, your life may be exposed to one hardship after another. You will have trials, you'll have tribulations, you'll have troubles, you'll have falls, you'll have disappointments, you'll have disillusionment, you'll have sickness, you'll be slandered, you'll be misrepresented, you'll have one failure after another. And thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety. Safety for every believer. I love that scripture in Isaiah chapter 3. Tell ye the righteous, it'll be well with them. No matter what's going on, no matter what's taking place, no matter how miserable they may feel, tell the righteous, it'll be well with them. Now you tell the wicked, it'll be ill with them. No matter how great things are, no matter you're going downhill, everything's easy, no trials, plenty of money in the bank, it's going to be ill with them. But say ye to the righteous, it will be well with them. Thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety. Amen.